There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday edition of the show. And if you're new around here, let me tell you how to get in touch with us. 251-343-0106. That works for a phone call or a text. 251-343-0106. So same digits, either way. You want to contact us there. And also, in addition... And with fabulous prizes like the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is free, by the way. And if you if you're a cool, what are the green dots on the iPhones? If you're a cool Android user like me, you would get the app over on Google Play. If you're old folks here running iPhones, you would go to the App Store. Either place, look for FM TALK 1065. You get our app there. And one of the features there, in addition to being able to call us and text us from the app, you can press a button right there on the front page, a microphone icon, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. All right, and I talked to this guy, not as even as much as I want, but I absolutely don't get him in studio as much as I want. It's my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing? It's good to be here, man.
Good to have you in studio. It's a rarity, but it's good to have you in. Yeah. Thanks for coming by. We've got some things to talk about today. I don't know which one's more charged in opinion, wrestling or politics. I'm not exactly sure. One where people are more, in their corner, so to speak.
I tell you, you go on social media, and I would call it split. Yeah. I mean, it really is. If you follow the right people that I follow, it's like, oh my. So yeah, duck and hide sometimes.
Because I mean, people say politics is pro wrestling. Or is pro wrestling politics?
Yeah, yeah. And I contemplated that back in the 90s. And so here we are in this era where, the lines are blurred anymore.
So, and so we talk about both y'all and some pieces y'all can read over at AL.com from John. First up, though, let's talk the politics. The not the wrestling kind, but the politics kind. Headline here, GOP frontrunners likely bound for runoff, tight fight for funds in heated Alabama congressional race. This is a question here of, I would say, on the fund side, the influence of a senator, what money is being spent by one of our U.S. senators to influence a race here in AL1.
That's correct. And you also have the power of, I wouldn't call an incumbent because Representative Carl is not an incumbent. He's a former representative, but he has that name recognition.
Incumbent
ability.
Adjacent.
Correct. So you have... Representative Rhett Marcus, who has the power of the Katie Britt endorsement, which is huge in this state,
yeah.
And he jumped out to a fundraising lead late last year, but that's kind of narrowed back a little bit in this first quarter. We looked at some of the numbers, and Jerry Carl, he has a couple of fundraising accounts that we had to look at, we totaled up around $300,000 he raised during the first quarter. And that's a little bit more than what Representative Marcus raised. Now, he does, on his end, he has built up a bigger war chest, considerably
so. So, I mean, specifically for this first quarter, yes, it was a win for Carl, but overall?
Overall, Representative Marcus has got $825,914 in the bank to Carl, who has around, I want to say, $433,000. So, it's a sizable advantage, but Representative Carl has taken the win and for right now. And it is a tight race. I mean, we saw some polling that came out recently that showed, you know, Representative Carl with a slight lead over State Representative Brett Marcus, but 50% of the electorate being undecided. That's a lot of undecided voters out there still.
It surprised me. I don't know if it surprised you, because now if we'd gone back months and they said 50% undecided, yeah, that's fine, because people like, we don't do this for a living, you know, aren't paid. But here we are, you know, you can see primary day from here, and that many people still undecided.
That's correct. I do think for Representative Marcus, having the legislative session over with is going to help him get out there a little bit more. Clearly, he was tied up in Montgomery. So we'll see how that all plays out. There was a forum last night in Andalusia. I watched it. It was an hour and a half long. One of, you know, the Fox affiliate here was involved. And it was really good. I thought, you know, they asked some interesting questions. You know, the candidates, you get these forms, you know, the same political party, they don't make...
there's not a whole bunch of difference, right?
It's not a lot of difference, but there was a little bit of discussion about differences in experience and background, and I thought that was kind of interesting. That kind of played out a little bit. Again, we have seven candidates running on the Republican side. You have 50% of the voters still potentially up in the air, if you believe in that poll, and that means, you know, with the one candidate polling the most at 23%, I'm anticipating a June runoff.
Yeah.
But, you know, who's to say? The candidates at the bottom end of the ledger, you know, if they're not making any inroads, you know, you never know. I mean, Governor Ivey had a lot of candidates running in her primary, and that never went to a runoff. So we'll see.
Yeah, I do feel there's a couple races I'm watching. I think the Senate race is giving me runoff vibes. Is that what the kids say? Vibes.
Yeah,
it's giving me runoff vibes. So is this AL1.
AL1 and Lieutenant Governor's race, too,
yes.
I think. So I think we're looking at those three. And, yeah, this is the congressional race in Alabama everybody's keeping their eyes on right now.
You know, it's interesting, too, with the, you know, redrawn AL1, AL2 and all that you've got this. You know, like I've said, both congressional districts are from state lines to state lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're, you know, Mississippi to Georgia kind of stuff. So you would imagine it's this flip-flop, which you don't imagine, y'all, it's happening. Flip-flop of time on the ground. Brett Marcus, even though he has, you know, he touts his time in Baldwin County, but he's a wiregrass guy.
That's correct.
He's going to travel down here a lot more. And Jerry Carl is passing him on the road to go up to the wiregrass. You know, that's the two.
Yeah. And we saw that in the last primary between Barry Moore and Jerry Carl. The wiregrass turned out strong. It was that friends and neighbors politics. We hear about that all the time here in Alabama, but that certainly was the case in that race. And it was an advantage for Barry Moore. So we'll see how that plays out in this race. You know, something also to keep in mind in this contest is whether or not the Supreme Court will make its ruling on that Louisiana case that could throw redistricting back into throw it up in the air. And then, you know, what are we looking at in a couple of years from now? We'll be looking at different congressional seats again.
Yeah, and remind folks too, because there was a Texas case and Louisiana case, but the Louisiana case closest to.
That's correct. Is closest. That's the one that you know, all the those that pontificate about the Supreme Court say will be ruled on at some point this year that potentially could.
It wouldn't affect this election.
It would not affect this election, but it could affect future elections, meaning you know, the next time this race is up on the ballot again.
So, y'all, we could get the district redrawn again.
Redrawn, and we could have Mobile and Baldwin put back together again. Of course, those are all what-ifs. It's just speculation at this point, but we got to wait and see what the Supreme Court rules, and that could be coming down the pike sometime this spring or early summer.
Okay, then the June decision
June
dump.
Decision dump, yep.
All right, coming right back, more John Sharp right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, 12:18 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. And good to have my buddy John Sharp from AL.com in studio with us. Read a couple texts here, then I want to get to the real political game here in the wrestling world. This is interesting. This texter says, we know this is kind of the politics, right? This is what I talked about. When they have this stretched out district, like AL1 and AL2 are now, you know, not the old idea was communities of interest and all those things. I said, we know Carl, we don't know the other one. Too bad someone has to win, which is kind of funny. But that's, I think there's going to be a lot of people just show up and, well, Brett Marcus is a Wiregrass guy.
Mm-hmm.
It won't even, maybe the politics and the voting pattern will be exactly the same, but people are just going to vote. Like all politics is local. You want to, I do. I'm jingoistic like that. I would rather, you know, have somebody who knows where I am.
So my anticipation on that is that you will know who the candidates are after the primary. The money is probably, we're not seeing an overextension of expenditures from Representative Marcus or Jerry Carl right now. They're loading up and waiting for this runoff, and they're anticipating that they're going to be facing each other. And, you know, if that's the case, then I think folks will become familiar with both of their stories. And, you know, just wait and see. I think June is a – that June – was it June 16th is a runoff date? That is a that I think, is going to determine the first congressional district. That's my prediction.
Usually the primary determines it. If it's not the primary, it is the primary runoff for the Republicans.
Runoff, yeah. You know, I've been wrong on predictions before, but I feel pretty confident on that one. So, as a professional wrestling manager would say, that's not a spoiler. That's a spoiler, not a prediction.
So, well, it is a spoiler. By the way, thank you, the Mariner and others. I always say they're going to be writing in my name for the AL1 race. I'd like to get the Secretary of State. All y'all that have said you've written me in all these times, I want to see if the Secretary of State can show me if I got written in. I could put those on the wall. Show Mama. Make her proud.
You know, and here's the spoiler, too, something I'm going to be working on next week. There was a bill approved in the legislature that will reduce the number of constables on the ballot in a couple of years. And so your write-in ballots of becoming a constable, that may kind of fade in the future.
Yeah,
so,
we're going down from 90-something to
24 to 26, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Which you do know that, like, I can tell you the story about, like, I know some of the people involved where they goofed on their buddy.
Yeah.
And wrote his name in.
That causes frustrations to the election officials. And so that's why we're seeing this kind of, fun old days are going away.
I come from a bunch of guys that if they all got around, we'd be like, hey, write in so-and-so's name. That's funny, you know.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk wrestling because you mentioned it. Headline here, who are Alabama's most deserving WWE Hall of Fame candidates?
So, yeah, tonight, a very late night show tonight, but they do the annual Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. And for all of us who grew up in the 80s watching wrestling, you know, our age, or even those that are younger, grew up in the 90s watching it in the early 2000s. You know, there's always a group of WWE performers that get inducted into their Hall of Fame. Dennis Rodman's going in this year, by the way.
So really? Kind
of, yeah, they're going to put the worm in. But, Stephanie McMahon, and then Tag Team Demolition, they were a big deal back in the 80s. Bad News Brown and Sid Vicious. So some of these guys are all going in that... you get on social media, if you follow this stuff like I do, they'll be like, well, these have been snubs they should have gotten in years ago.
Yeah.
We hear about that with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We hear about that with Major League Baseball, NFL football.
Yep.
These guys are the biggest snubs. So I thought, well, let's break this down even further because I'm a big nerd on this stuff.
He is, y'all.
Alabama, the state of Alabama has had some native sons that have gone into wrestling, but a lot of these guys got their starts in the territory era. And some of them never
explain that to me.
So the territory era was in the 60s, 70s. So it was kind of the heyday in the early 80s before World Wrestling Federation, which is World Wrestling Entertainment now, became this national thing, brand. The rock and roll wrestling era of the 80s became this big. And so you had all these little territories throughout the country in the Gulf Coast area.
Regional circuit.
Okay. So Mobile, it was run mostly by the National Wrestling Alliance, and Mobile had what they called the Gulf Coast Wrestling Federation. It was run by Lee Fields, who was a prominent promoter back in the 70s. And television shows were broadcast out of the Mobile Civic Center, and they were broadcast on WKRG, you know, the different networks at the time. And it was a big deal back then. But it was our little regional network. network of wrestlers, and we get some big name wrestlers at the time that were more of a national brand, guys like Harley Race, Andre the Giant. Even Hulk Hogan got his start down in Alabama. He wrestled Andre the Giant in Dothan at the fairgrounds.
You told me this story before.
That's still amazing. Like 8 years before they had their big WrestleMania 3 showdown.
And people could have probably gone and seen that for 15 bucks
so in a bag of popcorn. But in the 80s, a lot of those territories went out of business. It all consolidated into a couple of World Wrestling Federation at the time and World Championship Wrestling. Those were the two. They had the Monday Night Wars in the 90s, and then now it's basically WWE. There's AEW is a wrestling federation that's around now, but WWE really consolidated everything. Okay. So back in the day, you had all these territories, and so there was a lot of wrestlers that got really well known. They made... they were kind of pioneers in their field. There was a lot of promoters who were pioneers for what they'd done. And so I went kind of diving deep into a little bit of that and did a kind of a breakout story of who are some of these wrestlers from Alabama that, deserve to be mentioned.
That may have been snubbed.
Maybe, that could easily be part of any Hall of Fame in wrestling. They would lend credibility to it. The tops on that list was a team called the Midnight Express. And so I just encourage people to look into that story. If you like old school wrestling history, I kind of dive into some of that.
Well, and being fairly ignorant to wrestling but being buddies with you and hearing all this, and you're telling me the guy that grew up here, you're like, Sean, there is so much in Alabama wrestling history.
Yeah, there is. And I learned about a lot of it when I moved here 13, 14 years ago. It was interesting to me. I was just like, wow, this was...
But you were already a wrestling fan.
Yeah. I grew up in the St. Louis area, which is a huge wrestling hotbed. I mean, Stan Mushnick, that was his big territory where he promoted. Guys like Ric Flair and Harley Race all were major stars in the St. Louis area. But you come down here, and it was different hearing who the stars were back then.
Right.
Cowboy Bob Kelly. And I got to meet him. He was a sweet man. He was revered. Folks just loved him. I mean, he was a legend in the 70s in the Mobile area. And hopefully there's some people listening right now. Well, some of these names ring familiar to him, but you know, younger folks aren't going to remember the names.
How about this? From this texture said, I grew up watching Leaping Larry.
Leaping Larry.
The names are good
here. Yeah. Well, Hippie Mike Boyette was a big one. They had a match at the Civic Center in which it was like a hair match. So you lose the match, you get your hair shaved, right? So apparently, the hippie had a lock of his hair shaved or removed, and the fans were yelling about, they're going to smoke that hair or something. He was the hippie Mike Boyette. His persona was a hippie in the early 70s. So,
oh, my gosh. Yeah. But he was a wrestling hippie.
He was a wrestling hippie. And actually, guys like him paved the way for people that became nationally known years later. I mean, Hippie Mike Boyette had a lot of persona that years later, a wrestler like Mick Foley becomes Dude Love, and there's a little bit of Hippie Mike Boyette in his persona. So these guys that became nationally brand names probably borrowed some. And Michael P.S. Hayes, who grew up in Pensacola, he's one of the main WWE guys now. He used to wrestle with the Fabulous Freebirds, and he's in the WWE Hall of Fame. But he'll always talk about, being on the road with some of these guys back in the day. And you listen to these podcasts, and it's real fascinating. And actually...
Has there been a movie made about that?
Huh?
It sounds like a movie needs to be made.
Yeah, it certainly does. He was on a podcast not long ago with the Undertaker, and the Undertaker was the wrestler who Paul Bearer, who was William Moody from Mobile.
I even know that one. Right.
And William Moody was a big Mobile booster. He loved Mobile, talk up Mardi Gras and all this other stuff. Well, the Order of Inca ran their parade this year. It was a wrestling-themed parade. And pictures were circulating online of the Paul Bearer float. And so that became something that those two talked about on their podcast. And I wrote about it. I listened to it. It was kind of fun.
You mentioned,
and Order of Inca had a blast with it.
I remember seeing that. Yeah. I got a friend of mine. She's a big wrestling fan, way bigger than me. And she's telling me about each float and all.
Sure.
Matt says, it's funny, he said Freebirds. He said Midnight Express and the Freebirds going at it. What are the going at it for some of the greatest rivalries?
Yeah, and you got to throw in the Rock and Roll Express too. They feuded with the Midnight Express too. The original Midnight Express they are Alabama boys. Jim Cornette, who is the manager, is not, but Dennis Condrey and I forgot the other name, but both of them are from Alabama. So they have that. Those are those Alabama roots. Right. That's why I put that in there. They were a legendary team. I mean, they fought the Road Warriors back in the day. They were well known. If you grew up in the 80s watching wrestling, you know who the Midnight Express were.
Super Jimmy Fly Snuka. Somebody texted
He's not from Alabama.
So. CB Carl says, if I remember correctly, Mike the Hippie Boyette is from the same family that owned Boyette Portalettes.
That's interesting.
I mean, if you have like a Boyette Portalette, that does rhyme. All right, so you can check that out, AL.com. Right now, go there, look for John Sharp.
Yeah, it's, you know, we'll have some content over the weekend, too. It's WrestleMania weekend. We actually have an Alabama guy, University of Alabama graduate, an SEC shot putting champion from a couple years ago. He goes by the moniker Oba Femi, and he's wrestling Brock Lesnar. It's one of the biggest matches this weekend. So you got an Alabama guy to root for.
Roll Tide. All right, John, it's always good to see you, brother.
All right, thanks, Sean.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday edition of the show. And Dr. Bill has a... You know, normally we'd say, "Wow, rain coming, the chance of rain coming this weekend, that's not good." But I don't know if y'all's yard is anything like mine. Chance of rain is a great thing. So thanks, Dr. Bill. We appreciate it. All right. Our friend, guest host in residence here with the residency at FM Talk 106.5. The way somebody have like a residency out in Las Vegas, April Marie Fogel has it here. And, of course, read her work over at 1819news.com. Joins us now. Hello, April Marie.
Well, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good. I mean, you feel that way? Like, you know, the like Beyonce or something will be like have a residency in Vegas. That's where you make the big money when you go do the residency.
I'm still working on it. You know, I've decided after looking at the 106.5 Facebook that I would like to be paid in whatever that monstrosity that was just posted, the Oreo cookies salsa situation going on there.
I'll have to look at it. That's
that's genius of Leanna.
Oh, it's always.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess that's Leanna. But from now on, I can be paid in Oreo cookies and salsa.
Okay, well, this can be arranged. I'll talk to, we don't have corporate. I'll talk to myself, and we'll go ahead and get that done. This story, 1819news.com, and if you want to find this, you can go to the front page, or you can search April Marie's name here. But maybe you want to search it right now and read along with us. This is something, until I saw your story, I didn't know this all went down, but the headline here, watch, you're just making stuff up. RFK Jr. scolds Terry Sewell over false claims of racism. Let's go here. What happened yesterday?
So there was a committee meeting, and Terry Sewell, and, you know, this is one thing that frustrates me about Congress, and it's been happening for a while, but it's certainly gotten worse over time, but the grandstanding. So Terry Sewell goes, and here's what, can I tell you what I think happened and then lead you into what happened?
Yeah.
So I think what happened is Terry Sewell and or her staffer was like, RFK is going to be in front of us. We've got to find something, some gotcha moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you Google RFK and like black people or black Americans, you're going to find this podcast he did 2 years ago. How do I know this? Because I found the actual podcast. And what this is there was a podcast he did, and he's talking about changing Americans. Back to this Make America Healthy Again. And among the things he says we need to do is this holistic approach to making people healthy, getting them to eat right, getting them off their devices, getting them on healthy schedules, getting them outside, teaching them trades, resetting their body. And so in a conversation with a black podcaster, he says he had a family member who basically just went to this camp. She had all sorts of diagnoses. He didn't say what the diagnosis was. He said, and she had a hard reset going in one of these camps. So Terry Sewell shows her butt, I don't even know how else to say it any more politely than that, at this committee hearing, and is like, you said you want to send black kids to this camp, and she goes on this whole rant about how black kids have, you know, were separated from their parents during slavery, and black kids are separated from their family through incarceration, and this country has a history of taking black parents. And you're like, dude, it's a 3-4 minute segment in which he talks about how among the people who could use this the most are black kids who were, and it's a voluntary, like, you know, let's go do this if you want to. Black kids who have been prescribed medication for ADD or depression to get them off of those things and help them be healthy. Oh, I was so mad. I knew she was being stupid, and you could tell he was like, you're being stupid and I have no idea what you're talking about. But once I heard the actual clip, I was like, okay, now I'm just, this is just malicious.
Okay, so and reading some, and I didn't hear the podcast, but I, like reading through in your story, he's talking about it in general, right? And then you said he went
he
on to note
as family member.
It wasn't like he said, "Hey, I'm on the podcast to talk about what's wrong with black kids."
No, he's talking about what's wrong with our nation, and he says he points out that his uncle created the Peace Corps and the space program, and his exact words is, he wants to do his own version of this. He wants to leave a mark on this nation.
I want to leave a mark. I want to leave a mark on the nation.
And how he wants to do that is this program. That's this holistic approach that is intended to get people off all the things that make them healthy. He talked about how in the United States, black health is so much different than other industrialized, black countries, where because of the sheer amount of processed foods, we're not talking about third world countries, we're not talking about, you know, places that are a mess. We're talking about apples to apples. Black Americans are unhealthier because they're eating unhealthier and they're doing less healthy things.
Yes. So, and that's what Representative Sewell took umbrage with?
Yeah, she was really mad. This is basically any attempt for kids to opt into a really cool camp program is tantamount to separating kids from their families through slavery. And now, in the conversation, he did use the word reparenting, but it's in as a whole, right? Anybody who goes to one of these things, it's basically reparenting, because you don't generally get to the point where you're eating unhealthy, you're not exercising, you're in front of a device if you've been parented well. So he's like, we just need to start over. And again, the entire story revolves around a family member of his that went into this program, came out a healthier woman, didn't need any additional medication.
Who, I don't know. I mean, I don't know everybody in the Kennedy family, but probably that was a white person, right?
I'm going to assume. I mean, I have not seen
any black
Kennedys.
Yeah.
I was fit to be tied yesterday, Sean. Had you talked to me? And I was listening to that podcast, and I was listening, because both videos are in my 1819 story. The Terry Sewell uneducated, ill-informed, idiotic, racist rant, and then what Kennedy actually said. And again, she was doing everything she could. And God bless him. He was like, I don't know what you're talking about, crazy lady.
You spent time. This is good. This is good insight, y'all. So the time you spent in Washington, is it one of those things where you go, okay, it's the other party? Because, I mean, this happens. This isn't a rare occasion that a member of Congress does something like this. Is it that they just say, hey, staffer, I've got so-and-so from the other party in front of me today. And the staffer goes and says, well, here's something to be negative on. I mean, is it that simplistic?
It really is. I mean, it's not complicated. A lot of times in these days, more often than not, it's going to be something somebody posted on social media. But you know, public officials and you and I aren't public officials, but public officials do so much media and they have such a public presence. So to take a 3-4 minute segment that was taped 2 years ago out of complete context, RFK saying he had no idea what the heck she was talking about. Legit. I bet he didn't. But we've seen this time and time again, especially with the Democrats, these attempted gotcha moments. Because they have no, they're not using reasoning skills.
You know, the problem is this happens, and I'm going to say this, it does happen on both sides of the aisle, but it is the there was, from reading your story, like I didn't hear the testimony yesterday of the podcast, so if I'm wrong, correct me. But it is all it defaults to ad hominem. Instead of saying, hey, this is, that technique is not good because here's a study citing this study or whatever. If you disagree, you hear some other information that disagrees with it. It is, hey, you're being a racist, even though he wasn't, but you're being a racist, so therefore the idea is not good. Instead of debating the idea, right? Instead of saying, hey, it doesn't matter, what the color of the person is, I disagree with this because of X, Y, and Z, but it doesn't go there.
Let's talk about the actual idea. Let's talk about taking people who are homebound, highly medicated, and I've got three kids. One of them was prescribed ADD meds in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. Hasn't been on them. I refuse to do it, and she's thriving. But you have kids who their kids are constantly getting called out, and rather than addressing the underlying, this kid's not getting enough activity or whatever, these kids end up medicated for long portions of their life. And this is across racial spectrums. It just so happens, according to RFK, and I didn't research that part of it, it's happening more often than not to black children.
Okay. So he's saying, hey, here's a way to help them, right? Help these kids. But he did start it off talking about all the people that went to this 10,000 acre, which sounds nice, actually, camp and place to go. Yeah, I was like, oh, 10,000 acre, nice spread. He wasn't like, he's not on a war. Like, I think he, I tell you all the time, I think if he really wants to show himself as being dedicated to the Baha movement, he's going to use, well, maybe he can't use national, well, Posse Comitatus may keep him from doing it, but maybe mobilize National Guard and go after the Nabisco factory and the Twinkies factory and, do a surgical strike there, maybe some missiles or something. But other than that, he's trying to say, hey, the kids have these problems. Here's a way we can help them, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and that was the, what's funny is the comment about black kids being medicated were such a small portion of this. The fact of the matter is there are weeks in which I live, especially during campaign, wasn't even talk about my diet in my 20s, but there are weeks now where the kids will have sports or have this or have that, and I'm thinking, what the heck are we doing to our bodies, right? We're not eating, we're not sleeping, we're eating junk food, whatever it is, this is for people who have who don't even know enough to recognize how bad that is, right? Like this, there are individuals out there that don't recognize the sodas and the candy and the processed chips and the processed foods are unhealthy. And he's saying, as Americans, let's take them. And what would be good parenting, which is unheard of these days in a lot of different places of life, not just a one particular race, but good parenting that's going to teach you how to take care of your body. I think it's a great thing. And I was just outraged that Sewell made this a racist thing.
There it is. Read that story and a whole lot more over at 1819news.com. April Marie, any update there on the home front, too? I see people texting in. Dogs doing all right? The menagerie of pets doing fine?
Yes. So I have not seen the possum in a while. That's promising. But we do have the corgi, the little corgi, and she is doing great. She's currently in her crate because she just had the zoomies and ran herself ragged, but she is she's doing very well. We are now 6 months old, and we've had her for about a month.
Okay. I think you missed a chance there with naming the dog Thatcher, the corgi. But listen, it's your dog, your ability to name. All right, people want to reach out to you on social media because there's some people on the text line already chiming in with questions for you. How do they find you online?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to fill in for Jeff next Tuesday. I believe. And you can find me on X, APRYLMARIE.
Good stuff, April Marie. We'll talk soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
8:51, FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Friday, and a great time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk some inventory with me. How's it looking?
Good. We had we bought two trucks yesterday. One of them is a 17 F-150 crew cab. It's got the 5-liter V8 in it. It's got fuel wheels on it. Beautiful, beautiful truck. I mean, it didn't need to be washed. It's so nice. So we've got that, and another truck came in yesterday. We've got a lot of small SUVs, little Buick Encores and stuff like that, and a good selection of cars.
Okay, so let's talk about financing right now, too. I know you have a bunch of people may not know it. I know it. You work with a bunch of different people doing financing, so you kind of match the right, you know, finance company with the right person. But how are the rates kind of overall looking? What have you seen trend-wise?
You know, the rates started coming down, what, 6-8 months ago, and we've got rates in, I think, in the fours right now. So we've got some really good interest rates, and it all's relative to the credit, you know. We got rates for every customer and every type of credit, and we've got financing for every customer and every type of credit. You just got to come see us and see if we can help you.
Okay, well, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. We are at the third red light on the left-hand side. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
Have a good day, Ben.
All right, you too. There goes David at LCM. Let's get to the text line here and try to get caught up. Let's see, wrestling. What, with the last of the wrestling, well, if I missed a wrestling. Oh, this is Alex on the text line. Said, I know Alex. He said, I'm from Chalmette. It's been a while. I remember watching Mid-South Wrestling with my dad live in the parish. Junkyard Dog, Andre the Giant. Don't remember more. I was young. I had a lot of friends that knew a lot about wrestling. It's a theme you can see with me. It was hard for me to like sit still and watch anything until I was like, we could watch a show or we can go build a ramp out of plywood we took from the construction site. That's kind of where I was. This complaint of the complaint department here, B-Dark said, I'm old around here and I can't get my text read even by Jeff. You got them. So I read your text, B-Dark, so I don't know. I can't, not in charge, not in charge of Jeff's show. So let's see this from, all right, Jace Jr., saying Jr. here, probably RFK Jr., absolutely 1,000% said these things. I've heard the recording of him saying it multiple times this morning since it's hit the headlines. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the second one first. The first one here from Jay said, speaking of being stupid and malicious, April Marie Fogle is doubling down on Bobby Jr. Also denied saying all black kids are automatically given psychiatric drugs and that they need to be given to new families to be reparented. Meanwhile, that podcast clip has been replayed and he did say it. 1,000%. Okay. Let's see. This is from CA. Well, you know what? April Marie will be. Well, CA said, hey, can you ask April Marie to investigate the Beauty and Supply School scam? They're popping up everywhere. How big are the grants? Do they have Northern Somalia, Minnesota connection? Tell you what, you can ask her as well if you can hold on to that. Like she said, I think she's guest hosting Tuesday for Jeff. So, by the way, Monday, speaking of guest host, it's going to be a heck of a Monday to listen. I'll have to listen to it in podcast form, but my friend John Young, of course, you hear him Monday nights, Mr. Mobile, his other name, is going to be hosting Midday Mobile on Monday. So you'll have Midday Mobile, and then you'll have his show 8 o'clock on Monday night as well. So John's going to fill in, and then I'll be doing the show the rest of the week from far-flung locations. Let's see here. This from Michael said, the Terry Sewell crap is the opposite side of the same mirror as the pro-war folks do with calling us Americans first anti-Semitic for not wanting to support the state of Israel bombing their neighbors because they feel like it. Okay. I need to go here. That's why with April Marie, I said, well, I need to go listen to it. Like, so Jace has listened to it. I'll go listen to it myself. Listen to it and have my own opinion of it. It may be the same, maybe different. I don't know. I need to go hear it. But the idea that there's probably over prescription of meds for all Americans, and I would argue probably young, old, black, white, Asian, whatever, you know, Hispanic, whatever, probably everybody's ever prescribed. I don't think, because the money's all green, right? I don't care who it is. So I think there's probably something to that. What percentage of that? Is it 3%? Is it 30%? I don't know. You know, you listen to RFK Jr., he thinks there's a lot more. Some people say it's not much. So, but I'm going to listen to his comments there, and then maybe next week we can talk about it. Which, by the way, headline-wise, too, I saw this over at lanyapmobile.com, and maybe in the second half of next hour, it depends on the barbecue talk, we could get to it, but a discussion that Rob Holbert and I from Lanyap had many, many times, that Lanyap had been investigating the ethics chief, you know, Alabama's ethics commission executive director, and he's had the stories about the money that was in the Mabel Abus fund that's supposed to go to kids like for college and all that, and the number of people that were connected with Allbritton, Tom Allbritton, that had the money go to them. Well, this just came out. The ethics chief has resigned from the Mabel Abus fund. Said yesterday, nearly 5 years after Lanyap first broke the news that Alabama Ethics Commission Executive Director Tom Allbritton's children received $135,000 in tuition from a charitable trust he helped oversee, he resigned from the trust board. In an order appointing a new board to oversee the Mabel Abus Memorial Fund, Montgomery County Circuit Court Judge Griffin also accepted Allbritton's resignation from the charitable trust. His position, Allbritton's Andalusia law firm wrote into the former Alabama Secretary of State's will when she was in her 90s. The trust was formed following her death in 99 at age of 99. The Mabel Abus story is really an interesting one as well. So if we don't get to it today, we're trying to get that Rob on to talk about that story next week. All right. Barbecue, state of Alabama, regions, all that good stuff. Sip and Chew going to be on with me next.